Is this our last episode of the year? This is our last episode of the year. So, you know,
honor to be here.
Try to be good.
We'll make it count.
Okay, here we go. Introduce yourself, please.
I am Senator Kay Wolf, Kansas State Senator, District 7.
This is a familiar voice. We're glad to have you back. But first, let's hear the open. This is Statehouse Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go.
And joining Kay and me in the KCUR 89 production studio this morning is Christopher Leachville over there at the Johnson County Library, and my KCUR colleague Frank Morris, who's a reporter here, also NPR's correspondent in Kansas City. Frank, nice to have you back.
Great to be back, Sam.
Kay is, of course, a returning voice, a friend of Statehouse Blend, so we're looking for an update on your two sons and your grandkids, and I believe you've got a couple of poodles stashed away there at your house, do you not?
Sam, it's incredible what you research. Absolutely. You know, I do have two sons. I have two. They both live in Johnson County. I have two grandchildren, a grandson and a granddaughter, and I have one on the way. That'll be another grandson that's coming in May, and then my two standard poodles. So,
what are their names, by the way?
Cassie and Nikki. Cassandra and Nicole, but short for Nikki and Cassie.
Well, of course they are. Now, you represent the 7th Senatorial District, and I'm wondering, you know, how do you describe that to your, colleagues from Western Kansas? What's the 7th Senatorial District in Kansas all about?
I think, actually, the 7th District, I think, is probably one of them, I think, very well educated, very well informed. Mm-hmm. Very centralist, you know. I like to use that word rather than moderate. A lot of people like to use moderate, but I think a centralist is really what they're all about.
How's that different?
Well, I think you get tagged with moderate that you think a certain way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I don't think a certain way all the time. I try to evaluate, and I think my constituents do as well, what the issue is. And sometimes I'm on this side of the issue, sometimes I'm on that side of the issue. And I think they do the same thing in evaluating what they think's right and what they think's wrong.
A lot to get to as we ramp up towards the legislative session. I want to talk about KDOT. First, our first trip around the table. Christopher, what's on your mind today?
I really wanted to come as a citizen who lives in Kansas and loves my state and volunteers time and energy to various causes on the Kansas side of the state line, and who is really distressed by the seeming prevalence of an unwelcoming and judgmental and really harsh kind of point of view that is espoused by a lot of elected officials, not necessarily the elected official seated to my right here, and the kind of climate that creates in our state of intolerance and inhospitableness and about our state in other places. I travel a lot across the state line doing work, and this may speak more to Missouri than it does to Kansas, but to hear the kinds of things that people say about Kansas, whether they're informed or not, troubles me, and I'm really interested to hear from you how you think elected officials contribute to that or can combat that and contribute to a more cordial atmosphere publicly and civically in our state.
I guess I don't really see that we're inhospitable. You know, I work up there, obviously, in the legislature, and I work with a lot of different people and with a lot of different viewpoints. Obviously, you know
sure.
that. Do I think that what the legislature as a whole has done for the state of Kansas is good? No, I don't think so. I think that basically most of them have just put their heads in the sand and have gone along with the establishment and said, well, right or wrong, we're going to do that. And it has not been good for Kansas. And actually, as you know, we've been on national TV and in the, you know,
right.
papers and everything else with regard to some of the craziness that we have done up there. Unfortunately, I think, or maybe fortunately, I don't know which it is. I mean, the only way to change that is when we have all said that a million times. The only way to change that is to change your representation in Kansas. We didn't get here overnight that way. You know, it was a result of the 2012 election, and the people spoke and they voted for these people and that I don't happen to agree with. Now, as individuals, I do try to I respect everyone, because they went up there, they got elected, they can vote, and that's what they're supposed to do. Right. It doesn't mean I agree with them, but the people actually put them in that office, and whatever legislation we have, it's because of that.
Do you find it challenging as an individual to wrestle with a relationship, or do you wrestle with a relationship between your allegiance to your constituents and the people who brought you to office, and maybe the people who didn't vote for you who you still represent, and allegiance to a party and its platform and its goals that may not be always dictated by constituents or voters?
I don't. And I'll tell you what, I think I'm really fortunate because, you know, I'll be beginning my 11th year, as you probably know, in the legislature. And I have always voted what I believe my constituency wanted. And luckily for me, I agree with that, what my constituency. I mean, so I'm not at odds with what I think they want. But in 11 years, I mean, I think one thing you have to have up there, you have to earn respect. And if you have the respect of your colleagues, you don't get pushed around, nor do you get looked at as being some ogre that you don't go along with, you know, what the establishment does. So, no, I have never been pressured with regard to, like many of my colleagues, to vote a certain way. And because they know I've always stood my ground on that. And I think you have to go in doing that to begin with, because the minute you don't do it, then you're opening yourself to allowing people to come in that door and try to push you around.
Understood.
Frank, join us in the conversation here. What's on your mind with Kay?
Well, I mean, you just registered to run again. I wonder what if it's frustrating to be on the outs all these years. Mm-hmm. You know, springtime it's nice. The weather just gets nicer and nicer. You're sitting in those meetings, get longer and longer as the spring goes on. And it, for someone who is, you know, a centrist or a moderate Republican, it's very difficult to get anything accomplished. So after all these years, you're still, is it frustrating? Or the question is, why do it again? Why keep coming back?
As I said, I've been there 11 years, and really that's really not been the case all those 11 years. I mean, really, our coalition when I was in the House was pretty strong up until, like I said, the last election, because many times, as you know, I mean, the more moderate centrist Republicans would vote with combine with the Democrats, and we've stopped much legislation. I mean, there's times I've been there that we didn't even approve a budget because the budget, we didn't agree with it. So it's only, I think, in the last few years that that influence has been different. But just because you don't get legislation passed, part of being effective up there is stopping legislation. And I feel like I've been very effective at that, especially in the Senate, because now I'm in the Senate, and I have a very good relationship with our Senate president. So I have a very open relationship with her. And there's many times that we've had things that were potentially going to come to a committee or to the floor, and I've talked to her about that, and she listens to that, and she understands me and my other colleagues if we go to her that potentially this is not a good thing to have that for us to vote on. So I think if any where I'm effective is stopping legislation.
Do you have a target on your back? Are you going to be primaried?
You know, I don't know if I'll have a primary, and I did last time, as you know, but it's very, they shouldn't even do that because they can't, no one can beat me in a primary. I mean, it's just not going to happen because of the way my district is set, you know. I mean, that's not just me, that's, I think, any of my representatives as well that are in the Senate District 7. I mean, I know the makeup over there, so they should, you know, whether they should be spending their time someplace else, I think, rather than primarying me. And I think that's probably, I almost doubt that I will have, to tell you the truth.
Now, we've, you know, we've had people, a lot of Johnson County moderates, and I'm going to go ahead and use the M word, sit in this seat absolutely say that they expect a primary. So you're a little bit more confident in this, owing back to your already 11 years in the legislature. You know where your voters are. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I just think that I'm a person that leans, I think, more to the right. It's not their district. That district just doesn't vote that way.
Yeah. I want to move on to what is the issue du jour or the week from last week, and something and issues like this keep coming up, and this one has to do with KDOT. What we learned last week is quietly KDOT floated about $400 million in bonds earlier in earlier this month. Just as quietly, we learned out that we learned last week that the cap on how much KDOT can borrow seemed to be lifted at the in the dark of night at the legislature. I wrote about this week. Wrote stories about that this week. I want to play a little clip of tape, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
I'm concerned that rather than issuing those bonds to actually take care of the load work they should be taking care of, the bonds have been issued to cover the debt in the state general fund.
That's State Representative Melissa Rooker, a voice you probably recognize. She was she is on the Kansas House Transportation Committee and told me two things which seem to be troubling. One, the raising of this cap didn't seem to come up in committee hearings when KDOT was presenting its budget, and to her fear that KDOT has had $1 billion swept from it in the last few years to go into the state general fund, and that a lot of this $400 million in bonds that were sold a couple weeks ago will not go to projects. So where are you on this?
Well, I totally agree with her. I mean, you may know I'm vice chair of Senate Transportation. And no, I didn't know anything about it. I was as surprised as everybody else when that happened. Well, surprised in that no one knew anything about it. But on the other hand, I'm not surprised that they did it because the state's broke. And we all know that. And we all know where we've got most of the money from. And that's been KDOT. So that's probably the easiest thing to do for the state. I don't think it's going to go. I agree with her. I don't think it's going to go to projects. I think it's going to go help probably to fund our deficit. And so I think that's unfortunate. As you've heard me, well, I don't know if you heard me talk about this the other day or not. I mean, I think 2016, we'll manage our revenue in 2016, but 2017's a very different story. So I think they're looking ahead with regard to it's the only bank we have.
Yeah. Let me just press on with this just one with one more question and say, how is it possible that the vice chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee, a certain leadership position in your own party, doesn't have any idea that this happened? How in the world does that occur in the Kansas legislature?
Well, Sam, a lot of things occur like that in the Kansas legislature, unfortunately, and it has to do with the processes that we have up there. Just like in the recent thing that where representatives were taken off of committees, and the chairman didn't even know that the people were going to be taken off of committees. It's a part of it that I don't like, but unfortunately. Leadership is, fortunately or unfortunately, it depends on where you're coming down on it. Leadership really controls everything. I know when I came from municipal government, I was shocked when I went to the state and I saw really how legislation is enacted. It's all about who you know and who likes you and what they want to do and what side they want to land on. So leadership can do anything. Yeah. They really can without coming to us at all.
Yeah. Christopher, saw you, you desperately want to say something here, so I'm giving you that opportunity.
Always eager to contribute in the public sphere. As a citizen, we've just heard you say earlier that responsiveness to voters and knowing your constituency and relationships with people on the ground is really important to helping make you an effective leader in the state Senate. As a citizen, how am I supposed to respond, or what recourse do I have when we see this example of what I think we used to call smoke-filled rooms and behind closed doors kind of operations, wheeling and dealing and ignoring the express interests of citizens in the persons of our elected representatives. How can I engage with that process, which seems designed to exclude me as a citizen?
It's unfortunate, but it's the only way you can do that. It really is for more people to get out and vote. That is really your only voice, because you send a representative up there. They can listen to their constituents, or they cannot listen to their constituents. And my own opinion is most everyone up there has not been looking out for their constituency.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, they've been looking out for who put the money into their campaign. And who got them there? They owe people. So that's unfortunate, but I think it's true.
Frank, go ahead.
I was going to say, when this next session we talked about, I heard you talk about it the other day. It's interesting because I truly believe the Senate will probably have a quiet session, non-controversial, because I think they want to make sure that most of their incumbents come back again. And anything that's controversial remains in the minds of the voter. So for a time period. But that voter forgets. So, if we have something very controversial, then that makes a difference when they go to the polls. They'll remember that. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, I've heard that the House, in fact, Representative Rooker was saying this, that's not going to be the case in the House. So that's a kind of a good news, bad news thing.
Right.
It could be good news because there could be some of this craziness continues, and the voters are going to be, we got to do something about it, and we got to get out and vote, not only in the general but in the primary. If it's very quiet, the voters may forget once again. I hope not, but that could be the case.
Right. I know Frank Morris well enough that look says I've got a follow up question, and I damn well better have the time to ask.
Incorrect, Sam. My question actually goes back a couple of, there must have been some kind of rumor when these big changes come along.
Yeah.
You must have had some inkling, oh, they're going to borrow again. They're going to,
referring to KDOT here.
KDOT. But all these transportation raids, for lack of a better way of putting it, you don't get some kind of, the wind doesn't start to blow and you start to smell something and you have an opportunity to kind of, engage?
Well, I think when you're in session, that we're certainly much more informed about right. what's going on, because we have to balance the budget, as you yeah. well know. I mean, that's constitutional that the budget has to be balanced. So when we are borrowing money or making those transfers from KDOT, everybody's quite aware of that because that's in the budget process. But when we're, as you know, normally 90-day legislature, and we don't meet for most of the time during other than that. And so it was not even in the committee process. Honestly, I never heard a word about it. And I don't know anyone that has, to tell you the truth, any of my colleagues, that they were going to do that.
Let me just clarify a little something. You're speaking not of the actual selling of the bonds, but the lifting of the cap, which happened in near the end of the session. Now, Mike King, I interviewed him. He was the secretary of the Kansas Department of Transportation, was unequivocal. We testified to this in committee hearings. That's what he told me.
I don't remember that. Perhaps
you're
he
not
did.
The only one.
Yeah. So if that happened, I don't remember it. Maybe it happened on the House side, but I don't remember that happening on the Senate side.
I think what you're saying is interesting, right? To have all these state elected officials and then to not have an inkling that it's happening seems a little fantastic.
Right. So who you talk about leadership. So who makes that decision?
Yep.
And I'm not really sure who made that decision. It might be the Legislative Coordinating Council, LCC. I don't know who's made up of, the Senate President and the Speaker of the House,
right.
and then a few
Chairman
other.
Chairman of Budget and
right,
Ways and
right,
Means.
Right, exactly. And that's, I'm guessing that. Yeah. I don't know that, but I'm guessing that's where that decision was made.
Mm. But it was, just to follow, it happened, it was in the budget, language is in the budget. People have said they had no idea that it was there. So when does it? When does that happen? I mean, you know, does it happen in a back room? I mean, is it just a handful of people? Is it Merrick, the Speaker, Waigel, the Senate President, some folks from, you know, KDOT in the governor's office? I'm just trying to get a sense of how that works in Kansas, because I would say, and I've covered the Pennsylvania General Assembly, and the way it would work there is it would be fueled by steaks and whiskey in some back room. Now, I don't think that happens here, but I'm wondering, as we try to piece this together, how do you think this all happened?
It does happen in back, if you want to call it, I don't know if it's back rooms, front rooms, any room. I think there are certain core people that are involved in that, and it is extremely difficult. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, to know what is in any piece of legislation, because it is so complex and so many pages, et cetera, that you to be able to really understand everything that's in it, it's very hard and very difficult. So. Again, as you said, I didn't even know that was in the budget. I suspect most people did not know. I mean, somebody tells our attorneys that draft all of our bills and everything, we want this in here, and it's buried in 600 pages, and that's how it gets passed.
All right. I want to take one more trip around the table, Christopher. Your final thought or question for Kay Wolf.
I'm very curious about why you sponsored legislation to remove two of my favorite reptiles from the endangered species list.
You know, Christopher, you're going to have to tell me. I don't even remember what that was. Was it snake?
There were two snakes.
I was very sad about that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I sponsored the legislation.
Well, I know you supported it.
So,
and why would you do that? They're poor defenseless snakes whose habitats are being encroached upon by industry and
I think that had to do with the Johnson County, as I remember
they
now.
They need your help, so. These snakes.
Well, so does,
more
so,
than
so,
the snakes.
So does the county. And
more
the county
than the snakes
was...
in Topeka need your help.
Yeah, I'm not
really.
You say snakes in Topeka. I'm not sure what that means exactly. And I think we're just going to move on to Frank Morris's final thought or question for Senator Wolf.
Well, what do you, we got a big election coming up, and people are, I know Democrats are running a couple of Senate, two or three Senate candidates. It doesn't sound like there's a big sea change, even though there's some budget problems in Kansas and some discontent, it doesn't look like this is going to get. What do we think is going to happen in 2016?
Well, back to what I said. I think a lot depends on the session. What happens in the session? If we have another session like we did last time, then I think absolutely people's seats are on the, can be changed. If it's quiet, I think, like I said, people will forget. Now, there is a concerted effort out there, absolutely, in order to change a lot of those seats. I think probably more so in the House, if my understanding is, than in the Senate. And that's probably the strategic standpoint, that's probably the better way to go, because you have more of the numbers just actually lend themselves to more having more of a coalition to be able to stop or pass legislation in the House, because they just lack a few, maybe four or five, something like that. As you know, in the Senate, we have 32 Republicans, and we probably have, if you want to guess, I would say maybe the most, maybe four, maybe five, but I would say four that I would consider more along the moderate line. So you've got a long ways to go in the Senate. So I think the focus is going to be on the House. I think they can pick up some seats there. I actually think the Democrats can pick up some seats as well there.
So. I want you to wrap it up. Senate President Waigel spoke to the Pachyderm Club down there in Wichita the other day. And she said, there's two things I want to get your reaction on. One, just a quick reaction on this. She seems to think that you can get the session done in 75 days.
As I said, I think the Senate can. I think it all depends on the House. I absolutely, because I know that's what we want to do. I mean, that's what she wants to do. I mean, I absolutely believe that. So, we don't have to do really the budget.
Right.
And I also think that with the 2017 budget, nothing's going to happen to that till after the election. I think that'll be pushed back till after the election because they don't want to have to rob more money or make transfers. They want to get this election over with to have anything controversial. So.
And, I mean, do you think that because we'll also have a couple of consensus revenue estimates before then, do you think that there's some hope that everything's just going to turn around and revenue's going to start flowing in, you know, like the dam broke?
Sam, you're kidding, right? I don't think so.
I'm still asking.
I know. I really wish that was
I'm
the
a
case.
Kansan.
I think I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, I don't see it. And until we really face the fact, the legislature faces the fact that our tax policy is wrong, then I think we're going to continue down this path, and I think that's very sad.
And the other thing Wagle mentioned at the Pachyderm Club was activist judges worried about what's going to happen with the Gannon case, which is the school finance case, at least a portion of it. I think everybody expects that we'll have some ruling on equity right near the end of the session. What kind of monkey wrench does that throw into the into the whole pot over there?
You know, I don't think I do agree with that. That we'll have that decision because, you know, we all know that the power struggle between the judicial executive and the legislature, and it's a huge power struggle. And I think that will be postponed. I really do think it'll be postponed until I think after the elections. I think Dave Helling said this. I can't remember now that you know, with the five judges being up for re-election, I think it's in the best interest just to push that and let all the elections get over with. On the other hand, I think if they do come down with a ruling, I think I would be very surprised if they put a time factor on a time that says you have to do this by a certain time. That's just my thought on it. So,
all right, we're going to leave it there. Christopher Leach from Merriam, Kansas.
That's correct.
And the Johnson County Library.
Thanks
for being here. My colleague Frank Morris. Thanks for coming in on a Saturday morning. So the last time we had Kay here, she picked "The Way We Were,"
oh, that's right,
Streisand tune to roll out with. This is my favorite part of the show, where we turn the entire podcast over to you and ask, what tune is on your mind? What do we walk out with today?
Oh, well, you know, I was trying to think of that, you know, because I did like "The Way We Were." There were some good times back when, you know. So, but I was thinking, like, well, it's kind of the holiday season, et cetera. So maybe we should do, like, "Santa Claus is Coming to Town." And maybe if the legislature won't be so naughty, that'll be nice.
A damn fine walkout.
A Christmas wish.
Yeah, a Christmas wish. That's right.
God bless us. KCUR State House Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Find us on kcur.org/statehouseblend. There it is right there. And we get a little time from Up to Date every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Want to sit over there in Christopher's seat? Just drop me an email. You can join us for coffee and donuts. You can reach me at kcur.org. Fan of the Twitter? You guys fans of the Twitter?
Yeah!
Yep.
Tweet. Thank you. Thanks very much for your support on that. you can follow me. I'm at Sam Zeff, and my co-host Brian Ellison is at PTS Brian. That's State House Blend. Thanks for being here. I'll see you around the radio.
He knows when you're